Today we're going back into the book of Exodus. And in going to through the book of Exodus, we are still in the Exodus stage. The Exodus stage is the stage where they go through the Exodus. So, and I told you last week, I believe it was last week or the week before, that will cover the book Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And in going through this Exodus stage, we're going to learn some things about God. If you all remember, a slight review, I told you last week, or the week when I did it last time, that this is God's resume. God's pattern is revealed. God's views are shown in the way that he does things. And God's triumph over evil in its inception, we will see it start to happen as we go through these chapters. And once we get there, we'll quit talking about the inception. We'll just say he's doing it. We'll just talk about God's triumph. Then God's still working in this family. And we made a special note that Shipra and Pua were mighty women of God. Now, from looking at those two people that we covered, Shipra and Pua, we have a title that we could have tied to them, and I wanted to bring them into our lesson this week. Our lesson this week is still The Family is Remembered, but our title for this lesson is Refusal and Respect Determine Destiny. Refusal and Respect Determine Destiny. I could have used a lot of title, but I just probably would have ended up just using my thesaurus to make it sound better. So here we go into the scriptures. Now we're going to do something different today. We are going to go to Exodus 2, but I'm going to have Dree read a little bit from us out of Acts, and we're going to read a little bit out of Hebrews, because we're going to move quickly through Exodus, so I want us to get some understanding of this passage from some of those in the New Testament that have already lived it, knew the culture, knew the background. So, Dree, if you'll start in Acts chapter 7 and 17 and read down to the 29th verse, please.
But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt.
I do need to make an interjection periodically. This is just to let you know that if this is Abraham's family remembered. I went to the verse to let you see that his family, we're still talking about the same family. Go ahead.
Till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live.
So do you see that chapter 1, Stephen has covered chapter 1 in 3 verses. He's covered chapter 1 in 3 verses. Now he's going to do chapter 2 before we read chapter 2. Go ahead.
In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptians. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons.
Thank you. Now, as Dree has read these verses here, let's go to Exodus chapter 2 And let's start looking at it there. Had I went when we were going through the book of Acts and started explaining, I'd have to recapitulate what I'm saying. But I want you to see that Stephen is going to give some stuff that when I say it, I shouldn't have to go back and refer to Acts and have her read it because she's read it. Chapter 2, verse 1 in Exodus, take me there.
And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi.
I want you to see that God is still remember Abraham's family because Levi is one of those sons of Isaac, who is the son, Isaac is the son of Abraham, Abraham's son, Jacob, who turned to Israel, and the woman that he married that he did not want to marry, this is the one who had the third son, Levi, her name was Leah. It's the same family. It's the same family. It's the same old song, okay? Read on.
And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months.
Refusal and respect determine destiny. I want to reach back to Shiphrah and Puah. They refused to do what the king said, and they had respect under God. I submit to you that in order to do God's will in this cursed world, in this world where people are perverse, as we covered in the book of Luke, and I say perversion in the sense that we don't want to do things God's way, if we're going to have respect to God, we got to refuse the evil and anything else. Either we're going to have respect unto God, or we're going to have respect to others. In this case here, we see there's a man of the house of Levi, got a daughter of Levi, they had a child, and they saw that was something special about this child. Go to Hebrews 11 and 23. They saw there was something special about this child. She hid the child 3 months, which she was not supposed to do. She refused the Pharaoh's edict, just like Shiphrah and Puah did. Are you there yet? Mm-hmm. What does it say?
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
When you have respect, you can go back to Exodus, when you have respect for what God has to say, you learn not to be afraid to refuse that which is evil. You learn not to be afraid of the ostracism when people will set you aside. You learn, and I'm talking about us now, move from them to us, although it's dealing with them. You learn not to put up with the peer pressure. Do you not understand? And if you don't understand, Ann and I have been going through opening up the Pharaohs. It's online. You can get it. You don't have to buy it. It talks, huh? On the what?
Unwrapping
the Pharaohs. Thank you, precious. It'll show that they have found so many little boxes of babies in it, dead, that dates back to this time. Do you not understand that would have been a pressure on her? Everybody else doing it. Who are you? Do you not understand that there are 15 women that have lost their sons? And you're going to keep yours hid that they could tell it?
That's true.
Remember the days of Solomon? One woman rolled over on her baby, killed it in the night. And then she was going to take the other one. Do you remember that? Do you remember one time there was a woman, there was a famine, and they said, well, let's boil your baby and eat it. And we'll boil ours in mine and we'll eat that tomorrow. And the other one tricked her. They ate her baby, but she wasn't giving up her baby. I'm saying that there was something that this woman stood up for, having respect for what God said. I don't fully understand the gravity of her seeing that it was a goodly child or this was a proper child. But I do see that she saw that there was a grace of God that she perceived on the child. She refused Pharaoh's edict and she showed her courage for righteousness. Two words I want you to put in there that you, if you're going to put a note down, in her refusal she showed courage. She had respect for the grace of God that she saw on the child And that's very important. We see that she respected what God had to say. She refused what Pharaoh had to say. And this is showing the pattern, the same thing that we saw with Shipra and Pua. Read on, please.
And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink.
Now, the flags are not like a flag of Egypt and a flag of the Semitic people and a flag for the United States. These are talking about the reeds that grow out there. They're calling them flags. When this woman had respect for what God had to say, when she refused to do what Pharaoh had to say, then she had to operate a plan in which, what can I do to preserve this word of God, to preserve this grace that I see? And I don't know if God told her to do it, or did she go back in her mind and remember what happened with Noah?
Mm.
How Noah was saved when a flood came. How Noah was saved when the world was coming to an end. Insofar as the little boys is concerned in Egypt, the little Semitic boys, their world was like coming to an end. Mm-hmm. The heart and the imagination was all evil against them. And I don't know, but it looks like to me there's a great similarity in the ark that she made, daubed it with pitch, daubed it with mud, and she put it on the water. When we refuse evil, when we have respect unto God, that doesn't mean there's nothing else for us to do. The mindset is what gives you the mindset and the ability to do what God has necessary for you to do. But what if God doesn't come and tell you what to do? Use your sense of what it takes to preserve life, to do God's will. You ought to have something in you by now to know what is right. And you go do that and let it be revealed and let God work out the rest if he hasn't given you a step-by-step-by-step blueprint. Please read some more of the word God.
And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him.
And his sister is watching, seeing what the mother is doing, seeing the faith of the mother, knowing that for these many months, mom has done this, and they tried to keep the baby quiet, hiding the baby when different people are looking. No doubt that she may have also, during the time she was pregnant, didn't hide herself.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know this child was going to be a goodly child or a proper child. Now where questions come, did you have a boy or a girl?
Mm-hmm.
If you could just go back and feel what was going on, there's a reason that this mother is mentioned like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear a whole lot about what the father did. Well, Tim, it's Father's Day. I don't care. You seem like you're giving credit to I'm doing what the Bible. It gives a lot on what the mother did. You would think that the father would have got his little wood together and built a little shantique, you know, and made it. No, it said the mother. And it's showing the daughter. Doesn't mean that the father did nothing, but we also know that if this father was able to produce children, he may have been out working as a slave. Okay? So let's read some more. Verse 5.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it.
Read on.
And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children."
Now, think about what we are seeing right here. This woman is a woman of royalty. She looks out there and she sees this little basket. She sees the little ark as she's out there to wash herself. I don't know if this is true, but in Unwrapping the Pharaohs, it talks about that water river and the God there was happy. Not H-A-P-P-Y, H-A-P-P-I. And that it's obvious that this woman does not have children and that she's barren. It's obvious that either she's not barren, but she doesn't have a child, a son. And so she is not well liked according to history, by her son, by her husband's child, by the other one. See, he had more than one woman that he had children with. And she's not, wasn't that happy by the man she married. Because her father had had two sets of children. So she goes down and she sees this child by the river. Doesn't know it's a child yet, but she opens it. She sees the child and the babe cries. And she has compassion. Well, in seeing that, here's the choice again. Do I respect the edict of Pharaoh, or do I refuse? Pharaoh's daughter showed courage, but not because she's trying to serve God. I believe she's showing courage when she sees this little baby boy. Now, you know she expected to see if it's a boy or a girl. The clothing showed that it was a Hebrew baby. I believe she showed courage because she refused to comply with Pharaoh's edict. Compassion helped drive her, and I believe not having a son drove her. But she showed courage. She refused to do Pharaoh's edict. And the way when we get through the rest of what is in the book of Exodus is to the hurt of Egypt. But God has something that he's got going on in this world. And I submit to you that kings rise, and when kings fall, especially throughout the scripture, you'll see if we look, it's by the decisions that they make and who they decide to have. Is there men with them to lift them up, to support them, and who they refuse? I'll give you one case in point, and we'll move back to the scripture. There was a man named Rehoboam. He refused the wisdom of the elderly men, and he respected the words of the younger men, and we know that the kingdom split after that. Our lives are going to be based a lot upon what we refuse and what we respect. Mm-hmm. So she refused to comply with Pharaoh. She had respect to her own desire to have a son. Read on, please.
Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother.
Look at what has happened here. Even Miriam comes to the scene. Miriam could have been afraid. Miriam has seen what her mother had gone through. Miriam has seen the work. She may have even helped with it. But the mother gets the credit. It doesn't mean Miriam didn't help. Miriam goes and looks, and Miriam shows her compassion as a young woman. She shows her courage, and she refused the edict of Pharaoh. She refused to be afraid. I'm saying so afraid that she doesn't act. She had respect unto her mother, and had respect to the God of her mother. This will determine destiny in the life of Miriam. Somebody said, "But what about God?" All of this is under the umbrella of God remembering this family, and he's showing the important players and characters and what's going on in this. And we will see that that same Miriam, is, when she gets older, is a prophetess. Is the same one that has special place, and the first woman that I remember in the Bible called a prophetess. But didn't she show that she had a respect to her mother and her mother's God even when she was a child? I submit to you that if you grow up as a person and you don't have respect for God and you don't learn to refuse the evil or the evil edicts of government or the evil edicts of your society and your culture, it'll be hard for you to do it as an adult. Mm-hmm. Patterns set up the way that we become in character. Mm-hmm. Please read some more, please.
And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages."
Look at how the Lord blessed. Because the mother refused the edict of Pharaoh, because she had respect for God, because Pharaoh's daughter had refused the edict of her father and had desire of her own and respect for her own wishes, God worked that thing out where the mother is getting paid to take care of her own child. And how long did she tell her to keep it?
And the woman took the child and nursed it.
Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't give you the age there, but the Hebrew women would usually nurse a boy about 5 years. 5 years. I don't know why, but in the ancient culture, that's what they would do. I can remember a lot of stuff by the time I was 5 years. I was going to Head Start. I was riding the bus going to Head Start. I can still remember 3 years old being at Green Hunter Nursery. I can still remember my life before I went to nursery. You can learn a lot in those 5 years. You can learn a lot in those 5 years. I just thought I'd throw that in there for free. Go ahead. Please read, Dre.
And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son.
And he became a part of royalty. Moses was adopted. When somebody said, it didn't say adopted. You know, there's this bit of TV show that said, give me a break. If he became her son, her womb did not bear him. It tells how she got to get him. She didn't even nurse him. But he became her son with rights, with privileges, and with even the attire and the dress of those people. He became her son. Please read.
And she called his name Moses.
And called his name Moses. For what?
And she said, because I drew him out of the water.
Now the amazing thing about that is that as I've been, you know, listening and looking at some of the things that dealt with the culture of the Hebrew people, not the Hebrew people, but the Egyptian people, normally what they would do is in that family, that the 18th dynasty, they would name them after a god. Mm-hmm. And if this is true in Unwrapping the Pharaoh, his first name might have been Hapi Moses. Mm-hmm. From the god, from this Hapi, mm-hmm. the son of, you know, mm-hmm. he would have been the son of that god. Like Thutmose would be the son of Thut. Ramesses would have been, Ramoses would have been the son of Ra. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds pretty good. I'm not sure. I won't bet my life on it. But I can guarantee you he had another name before Moses. Mm-hmm. He had another name. He would have just been named Moses. Because it fits that she got him out of the water. She said, because I drew him out of the water, and this is a gift from the water to me, so much so that I will defy my father. I wouldn't even be surprised. She may not have even told him what she had done. And so now, here is Moses, and she took him and made him her son, adopted. Please read.
And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren.
Please read.
And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
Now, what do we see here? Moses, in the list of people here, Moses will have his number 4. And remember, we're dealing with 2 issues. We're dealing with refusal and respect. Moses, as we had Drita read to start with, when he became of age, what did he do? He went out to see his brethren. He thought that they would know that he was the individual that was going to deliver them. What did Moses do? In order for us to see fully what Moses do, I need to read something out of Hebrews chapter 11. Do you want to read it, Dre? 11 and 24, if you will.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
This is where I got my title from. This is where the title comes from. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters. Now, I want you to understand something. If you want to say, well, how did you go and apply it to everybody else? I keep seeing everybody else made the same choice. But it looks like when Moses made it, according to the world standard, he gave up so much more. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh where he could have been on the throne. He refused to be called the very one that could have ruled Egypt. And in certain ways, he might have been able to let them go that way. He refused to be called an Egyptian anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know some of the background of history, during the time when Hatshepsut died, the one that was the queen, or some people call it Thutmose, That next one, that I think his name is Thutmose number 3, would have been willing to try to kill Moses anyway because he wanted to get rid of everything that had to do with Hatshepsut. Everything, even the statutes. Every now and then you'll see that different ones will, they may give call them a different person, but the story of what happened or the background is still the same. It's still the same that this was a horrible thing. The faces, you see the face of that queen that was there, the queen that they put the beard on, and you'll see that he wanted to get rid of every last trace of her and everybody that had something to do with her, and here is Moses. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Read on.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
I submit to you that with the writing of this book, Hebrews, I can truly and faithfully say he refused the joy of being Pharaoh's son. Because if he was the daughter's son, believe me, he carried the same weight. He refused the privileges that he had. He refused that culture where he could have had women, wine, song, and kill people at will. He refused that. Please read.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Do you see the last part? He respected what God had to offer. Where did he get that? Don't make me think that you think that God just came out of Moses, go out and see the people. Stephen said he went out to see how they were doing. The scripture said that he went out and he had compassion on his brethren. I submit to you, he had respect to God. He had respect for his people. He had respect to the recompense of reward. Evidently, he knew that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob something. And he believed. He refused everything that this world had to offer. Most people would turn their back on God for sex, for just a comfortable life. Here it is, royalty. He refuses this. Well, not only does he refuse it, which is to me is so much, but the thing that sticks out the most to me is, he shows courage and compassion in doing so. Courage. Do you understand what it would be like to go against the Egyptians when they've already drove out the Semitic people before? When they were willing to do genocide on all your babies in case a war broke out? They had started conquering other lands, and here you are, one man. One man with the information that you got from your childhood, from your mother. He respected the promises of God. He respected his mother's teaching. He respected the people of God. Please read.
Continuing in Hebrews.
No, go back to the other one. I'm sorry. Because when they started talking about the Passover, we ain't got to that part yet. Go back to Exodus. Thank you for asking.
And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man.
This is when he saw the Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brethren that he's already identified himself with. That's a lot right there. When you refuse to be identified with royalty and you're going to take up the, you're going to have respect to the slaves? Do you remember that there were three guys that went to Mississippi? You see these things that they show. Was it Cheney and something? Three guys, and they got killed at the Mick, huh? Those three guys, they had respect to the black people and how they were killed. And you remember how a lot of white people during that time were mistreated because they wouldn't treat the black people badly? I'm telling you, this is the same kind of thing that's going on. And then you got a person that's already wanting the position that you have, need you gone, and you're going to identify yourself with the slaves. Please read.
He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
He slew the Egyptian. He had more respect for the person that was of the seed of promise than he did for those that were in authority and ran government. Please read.
And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian?
Mm.
And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known.
Read on.
Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses.
I want you to look at what has happened here. We have two more people making the same decision. We have some Israelite slaves. Guess what they do? They refuse Moses. They refuse the person that is trying to help them do the things of God. They despise him. They have contempt. Whereas the other people show courage, they show contempt. But they had respect for the underclass or the underprivileged people, as some people do sometimes. It's like, you're not one of us. But the thing is, they had more respect for the leaders that they already had. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? Because I know what happens when Moses does talk to God, and when Moses does send the people there, who they go and they bring together. They have elders. They do have leaders. And those leaders at the particular time when God starts to do things, they're going to get mad at Moses and tell Moses it's worse for us since you've been here than it was before. So therefore, they had more respect for the leaders that they already had than the one God was going to work through. They didn't know. They didn't understand. Who makes you a judge? Who makes you a ruler over us? Stephen said, the same one that they asked that to, God made him a ruler and a judge. But it took time. You would think, under normal circumstances, that somebody in the position of authority that's of your same nationality, you would have respect to him and you wouldn't reject him. Let me give you a case in point of today's world. Most people that I've talked to, and I have a lot of African people that I do work for, they love President Obama. They don't see him as an American first. They see them as one of theirs first, an African. And they have respect and loyalty under him that in some ways that we're going to derive some kind of benefit. I have not met one yet, and I'm not saying that there is none, or that there are none, that would not say, like, we don't respect him, or we don't go along with his politics. The point that I'm making is, even in the so-called black community, they look at his skin, and they feel we're going to get some kind of benefit because he looks like us. We see him as one of us. Irrespective of what he does, if it looks like it's wrong, give him a chance. If it looks like it's egregious, it wasn't his fault, it was somebody else's. He's going to do right by us. But in this case, Ann, if people are still the same, and they look at this man, and he looks like one of us in so far as skin. Nobody probably had on the Egyptian regalia. But you don't respect. You don't see any benefit. What is that? He's not one of us. You ever heard of class envy? It seems as if there's a class envy thing going on there. You're not one of us. You can't be our leader. You're one of them. And that's why I say, they refuse, they despise Moses and have contempt for him, but they have respect for their underclass or their underprivileged thing. You're not one of us. You're not one of our known leaders. And I submit to you that often God's blessing can come through somebody whom otherwise you think is not one of you. Didn't we cover that in Luke? Didn't John say, Jesus, we saw one teaching in your name, casting out devil. We told him, stop that. And Jesus said, wait, let me help you get your mind right. And we know the rest of the story. Please read on, Dre.
Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well.
Moses leaves Pharaoh because Pharaoh is the one that gives the edict. Pharaoh is the one that we have talked about before. He's going to be a representation of the evil. He's going to be a representation of evil that's going to come upon God's people. But he's not the main thrust of the evil. It's going to be the one that dies after him. So we say Moses has left and he's gone to Midian and he sat down by the well. And what happened?
Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters,
Now the priest, the man that's supposed to be a representation of God to the people, and the people to God, had seven daughters. Looked like he couldn't make a son. Go ahead.
And they came and drew water, mm-hmm. and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock.
I submit to you that the reason that I put the shepherds in this list of people that refuse and people that have respect is because this gave Moses the opportunity to show what kind of character and what worth he had to the father. It's going to give the father a chance to show the daughters that something is wrong with you all. So by those shepherds refusing to treat those women with decency, they were there first. And because we're stronger than you, we refuse to treat you with decency. We refuse to treat you with hospitality. What we decide to do is to have respect to ourselves and to our power and to do things our way. But because Moses was there, Moses saw this. He had respect, listen to this, to the women. He had respect to the women, even in that culture. And he refused to go along with that program, so much so he showed his courage and willing to be able to defend them and to take care of them. Please read.
And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?"
Did you do it? What happened? Did you all do what was necessary? What happened?
And they said, "An Egyptian came and delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds."
See, I submit to you, just like they saw he looked like an Egyptian, that's why I believe the slaves probably saw Moses look like an Egyptian too. Joseph looked like an Egyptian and his brothers didn't recognize him. And they looked at him as an Egyptian. Read on. Go ahead.
"And also drew water enough for us."
Show, listen. Do you remember Rebecca? Do you remember when Eliezer was looking for a bride? Let me tell you something. If a man is looking for a woman, if a woman is looking for a man, if you find this person is a taker only, and this person can't provide any kind of service, if this person cannot do anything to help you, leave them alone. Here Moses is a man of royalty, and he is showing servant attitude already. For people he doesn't know. Women! You know, in some cultures, even today, they'll beat women, they'll stone women, and no man would do anything to raise up a hand against it. Read that verse again, Drea, because I threw that in there extra.
"And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man?"
I just want you to look at what they did. They refused to show this man hospitality, as gracious as he was to them. In the ancient culture, hospitality was something that was supposed to be shown. You would have thought that they would have ran back, "Father, look, this is the man that does so and so." I don't know, but the Egyptian had been conquering Semitic people. They had been doing certain things like that. So I don't know if there was a prejudice there. I wasn't able to figure it out. But something is wrong. You refuse to show this man hospitality, and you had respect unto whatever it was that is going on, that you don't particularly look at this man as being a man of value who helped you out. There's a problem, and I'm thinking it's because they thought he was an Egyptian. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not sure, but I know what they refused. And I know that when you refuse something, when you had a choice to do the right thing, or the thing that even your culture is doing is right, there's some reason behind it. And the only thing that I heard them say is that he was an Egyptian. If they had just said it was a man, but they mentioned what they thought was his ethnic background. Please read.
"Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man.
Now you see the difference here? Do you see? What happened is, Raul, he refused to go along with whatever it was his daughters kept them from showing hospitality. I look at what this man has done. I look at the character of this man. He refused. He fought for you. He didn't even know you. You were women. He produced for us. I refuse to let whatever it was that you didn't show hospitality. I got respect for this man. I'm going to show him hospitality. I respect what he did. I respect what kind of man that he is. And he has shown that he's a man of value and of service. And then when I talk to him, we don't know what they talked about fully. But whatever it is, I got respect for this man enough that I want him to be my son. Did you get it? Moses once was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm talking about outside of the man, the Levite and his wife. Now he becomes the son or the son-in-law to Raul. Please read the next two verses.
And he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son. And he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land.
Do you understand, Moses, that I've been a stranger in a strange... I've never been here before. I don't know this kind of land. I'm used to royalty. I'm used to big buildings. I've seen Sphinx around. I've seen pyramids. I've seen all kind of work going on. I've seen people making brick all day long. And here I am out here in like a wilderness. I've been a stranger in a strange land, but I'm at peace. Read on.
And it came to pass in process of time.
Now, we don't know how long that was, but I can guarantee you it's close to 40 years. Please read.
That the king of Egypt died.
He died. The one that Moses was fleeing from, the one that wanted to keep up with his edict, died. Read on.
And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage.
Read on.
And they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage.
Read on.
And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob.
Please read.
And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them.
And here is the capsule of chapter 2. Everybody in this chapter has had a choice of who they would respect, who they would refuse. The children of Israel are crying out to God because the bondage is great, because the people here do not have great respect for you. They cry out to God and God hears. That 25th verse says God has respect. But I submit to you that we haven't forgotten. I haven't forgotten Genesis chapter 15. God said that your children, Abraham, will be a stranger in the land 400 years. But I'll judge that nation. I'll refuse that nation. I'll judge that nation. I'll refuse that nation. They'll come out with great substance. The stuff that they had all those years that they had just sons and daughters in bondage, they're going to pay them. They're going to get reparations big time. You have no idea. When I say great substance, I'm not talking about bubble gum, Abraham. They're going to come out with great substance. They sighed by reason of bondage. They start to call out to the God that they've heard about, the same God with the information that Moses' mother would have had. They cried, their babies are being killed. Their little boys are being killed. You're getting an overpopulation of women. I submit to you that when we start looking at the scripture, when they come out of Egypt and they try to calculate numbers, think about all the boys that were killed. And you still going to have 600,000 men. And they cried by reason of bondage and they came up to God. Let me tell you that when pain come, when cancer come, when problems in the home come, when you can't eat, when there's problems on the job, when you cry out to God, when you start having respect to God in the midst of your problems, problems. When you stop refusing him, when you start looking at him totally, and you cry out, the thing we just want is the time to come when God have respect to our cry. Oh, it's on then. It's on then. It's on. Well, he had respect to their cry and their groaning. And the Bible says he remembered. That doesn't mean he forgot, but now I'm acknowledging I'm dealing with my covenant that I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Bible says I'm looking. He looked upon them and he had respect. When God had respect for the children of Israel and their oppressors were oppressing them, that means he refused them, and we're going to see what happens. I submit to you, just like we have a choice to refuse things and respect God, God has a choice. Either he can refuse us or respect us. Your choices will determine your destiny. If you refuse him, he will refuse you. If you respect and honor him, he will respect and honor you. Tim, where do you get that from? Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. If you honor me, I'll honor you. If a man will honor God in his choices, if a man will teach his children to have respect unto God in their choices and refuse the evil, you'll help your children determine their destiny. It's not a thing that you're just doing it by your refusal and your respect or your choosing life or death. It's the fact that this is the plan that God has set up. And therefore, this is your part to play. Your part to play is to refuse the evil and cleave to the good. Mm-hmm. What will we do today? Mm-hmm. Every day we have choices. Mm-hmm. Something to refuse, something to respect. Mm-hmm. So many times this family will try to get you to refuse the things of God that you know are the things of God. Things that we shouldn't partake of. Things we shouldn't do. People maybe that shouldn't be around. Do you refuse to partake? Or do you respect God? There are things that enter in our mind. Things that we are doing. Entertainment. That's painting on the hard drive of our mind. Or that's painting on the memory of our mind. Do you refuse to let it keep coming in there and respect God? Or do you let it come in and let it influence your life? Choices. Do you refuse certain things on the job that could actually give you more money but take you away from him? Or do you have respect unto God and say, no matter what, if Moses can refuse the pleasure and the riches of Egypt to please you, what about me? And lastly, if a man will save his life, have respect in his own life, Jesus said he'll lose it. But if he has respect to God and give up his life, he'll save it. There's a lot of theological things that have taken place in this passage. People made choices. I've told you before, this book of Exodus is going to show you theology. It is not about God doing everything. These people made choices. And in the choices that they made, God honored them, and he kept working it out. You show me one place that Moses would have refused God and stuck with Egypt, I believe he'd have replaced him. How? I don't know. But don't you ever think God don't have somebody that can be replaced. Don't you ever think about him. But then you start thinking yourself more highly than you ought to think, and you'll fall. Father, thank you for your blessed, righteous word. Thank you for the practical wisdom that you show us in the experiential lives of these people. And I ask you to help us learn to shun, refuse the evil, cleave and respect that which is good, which emanates from you. For there's only one true good, that's from you. our God and our Savior. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.